What's up, and welcome to the Real Life Podcast. Real Life is the student ministry of North Highland Church located in Columbus, Georgia. We exist to reach others with the love of God, engage in Christian community, advance in our faith, and lead others to Christ. For more information about Real Life, you can visit us at reallifecolumbus.com or follow us on all social media platforms at Real Life Columbus. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy.
Crying. There were people literally weeping in the room with the corpse of this dead daughter. She was probably about 11 years old. Terrible situation. And so what does Jesus do? He walks up and kicks everyone out. He says, oh, you've got a negative thought. You're depressed. You're upset about this situation. You got to go. And then he says, Peter, James, and John, you're coming with me. And he walks into the room, he changes the atmosphere, and he says, he doesn't say in the name of Jesus because he is Jesus. He says, little girl, get up. Wake up. Get up. And it says immediately she got up. And Jesus sent one of his disciples, said, go get this girl some food. She's hungry. And so why I share this tonight is I believe God wants to do something miraculous in our room tonight. He wants to do something miraculous in your life tonight, but you've got to set the atmosphere, because atmosphere is important. You've got to set the tone. You've got to say, negative voices, get out of my head. Negative depression, get out of my life. All these haters, you got to go. I'm going to get alone with Jesus tonight. I'm done being depressed. I'm done being tempted. I'm done being in bondage. Set the mood. So right now, Father, lift up your hands all across this room. Set the atmosphere for your own life. Kick the things out that need to be kicked out right now. Jesus, we set the atmosphere for the miraculous right now. Fire, fall right now. Holy Spirit, come and change us from the inside out. Spirit of God, fall fresh on us tonight, God. Have your
good evening. How y'all doing tonight? That sounded so adultish, right?
Good evening. Good evening.
Y'all doing okay tonight? Make some noise. Teen Challenge, I love you guys. Come on, y'all. Y'all got to wake up. Y'all got to get up. It's time for the Holy Spirit to do something in our hearts and life. Can y'all smile real quick? Can I get? I love you guys. You are incredible. Real Life, can I challenge you tonight? Who's ready for God's Word? Who's ready for the Word of God? I am excited to preach tonight. How many think Jonah Mills did an incredible job last week? I thought it was an amazing conclusion to our Easter series. But tonight, I want to ask you, can I challenge you to come higher in your relationship with Jesus? Can I challenge every person in this room that it's time to step up? Can I challenge you, it's time, not in your own ability, to take your relationship with Christ to a new level? Can I challenge you? Is that okay? Y'all ready? Will you go up with me? Will you follow me as I follow Christ? Will you believe with me? Will you say, doubt, you can't be a part of my life? I am a man or a woman of faith from this moment on. Amen? Let's let tonight be an epicenter of revival in our hearts tonight. I'm praying for that. Are y'all wanting that with me? Are you hungry for the Word of God? Are you desperate? Because those who are hungry for righteousness shall be filled. Praise the Lord. God wants to do something tonight. Are y'all ready? Father, we love you. God, we praise you. We adore you tonight. God, we are nothing without you. God, we thank you for all that you have done in our hearts and in our lives. But God, we are not satisfied with yesterday's blessing. We're not satisfied with yesterday's anointing. God, we're not satisfied with yesterday's breakthrough. We've got things in our hearts and in our lives that we need you to change tonight. So God, I want to go higher with you. I want to go deeper with you. I want to become more of a man of God with you tonight. So Lord, have your way in my heart and in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, and somebody shouted, amen. Amen. I love you, Real Life. You are so important to Jubilee and I. We pray and fast for you often, and I'm so excited. Aftermath is our new series. I am so pumped about it. Y'all, I remember the beginning of my freshman year of high school, y'all, I took this weight training elective. Y'all like weight training? Y'all got weight training? It was one of those classes where it's like, yeah, I'm going to take that for an easy A, you know, get my GPA boosted up real quick, y'all, you know. And I spent the summer before my freshman year playing basketball, street basketball, crossing people over. I was a baller, son. And I was in my hood, yo, you know, hooping. It was by the pool, you know, the court was fenced in. It was, you know. I wasn't hood at all. I'm wearing a chain and it's so fake. But I play ball is life, right? And so all summer long before my freshman year of high school, I'm playing with people and they're teaching me how to hoop. And I spent this summer conditioning for basketball. And the first time in my life was my freshman year in weight training. For the very first time in my life, I found myself in the weight room. Had never been in the weight room before. Obviously, that's changed. I'm just playing. But I was scrawny. I was so skinny, y'all. I was lanky. And you could easily, if I took my shirt off, you could easily point out and define every single rib on my torso because I had no meat to my body whatsoever. I was so skinny and lanky, it was ridiculous. And I walked into the weight room, and I saw some guys that were upperclassmen that I had been playing basketball with over the summer, and we'd been playing street ball. So immediately, I acted like I knew what I was doing, right? Immediately, because I wanted to blend in. And if you don't think this is how we behave as human beings. If we don't think we can overcome our environment, we will naturally try to adapt to it, right? And so I walked in and I'm like, oh yeah, bench press, that's cool, yo. I did that like 20 times, you know. And I'm trying to play it off like I'm big and bad. And it was a situation where I was scared to death, but I was pretending to be cool, calm, and collected, right? I got this. On the inside, I'm like, I'm going to kill myself. But I'm playing it off. It's cool. I had no knowledge of weight training, but I pretended that I belonged. And a guy named Travis recognized what was happening. Travis was teaching me to play basketball, and he was a junior. And he whispered to me, and he asked me if I had ever bench pressed before in my life. And I notioned to him, no, I ain't never done that in my life, bro. And he smiled and took the heavy weights off of the bar that were on the bar, thankfully, and he put 25-pound plates on each side. For those of you who have never been into a weight room, that means in its entirety, the bench press that I was pushing was 95 pounds total, weak. I was next. My heart was pounding out of my chest. Oh my gosh. My hands were perspiring. And I don't think hands are supposed to do that. But when we get nervous, we get sweaty hands. And so I'm nervous. My hands are sweating. I gripped the bar so tightly as I could, as if I were going to break it in half. And as Travis lifted it off of the rack to break it for me, immediately the weight found its way straight to my chest. And I was just out of control, unable to push this up. The weights were so uncomfortably close to my neck, I thought I was going to die. And in that moment, I pushed with all of my might. This is awkward, those noises. I pushed as hard as I could, and that bar went absolutely nowhere. And those few moments felt like an eternity. And in a second, Travis reached down and pulled the weight up off of me. He gave me the help that I needed. He gave me the help. How many in this place know there are some things that we need some help with that we can't handle? How many know that you are facing some things right now that if God doesn't step in and pull it off of your shoulders, it's going to crush you? God wants to do that for us. See, I didn't realize how weak I was, but the first experience in the weight room helped me to realize that we can become stronger than we ever imagined simply by accepting the help that is available to us. You and I can get stronger by simply accepting the help that is available to us. Your pastor can bench press 225 pounds six times without anybody spotting him now because I accepted help in the weight room. I'm strong. Your boy got some muscles, okay? But it happened because I accepted someone's help. I didn't try to get there on my own. I needed help. See, the cross of Christ is our salvation. The last 3 weeks has been our Easter series, and we learned that there is power available to us in the Holy Spirit to help us do more than we could imagine in real life. For the next few weeks, our series is going to be powerful. I know it. I sense it. In my prayer time, I sense the warfare that is taking place in the unseen, and God is going to do something powerful in this series, and it's not because we have power. It's not because we have the ability. It's because Jesus has made a power available to us that makes us powerful. We are calling it aftermath, from promise to power. And we're going to be explaining for the next few weeks how the gospel of Jesus Christ moves from promise to power through the Holy Spirit. We are unashamed at Real Life about our Pentecostal perspective. Here at Real Life, we are Pentecostals to the core. We believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the gifts of the Spirit. And unfortunately, when we begin to talk about the Holy Spirit, some people immediately begin to think it's going to get weird. That's your immediate thought for some of us in this room. Holy Spirit equals weird. Like, what is going to happen? Snakes are going to come out the wall or something? No. The Holy Spirit, I've come to tell somebody, the Holy Spirit is not weird. I want to tell you that it's just like me in the weight room. The Holy Spirit is the power that is available to us to empower us to do so much more than we could ever do on our own. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's the deal. Just like I was in the weight room, we are afraid of what we don't understand, and we are insecure about what we are incapable of doing on our own. We get afraid of things that we don't fully understand, and we get insecure about things that we don't think we can do or accomplish. Tonight I've come to encourage someone, the Holy Spirit is not weird, it's supernatural. We need more than just the promise of forgiveness if we're going to walk out our faith in a culture that is going to hell. We need more than just a get out of hell free card. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus doesn't just want to fix everything. He also promised us power that we can rely on every single day to get stronger and stronger and stronger in our faith with him. I told you tonight, I'm calling you higher, to a higher standard in your walk with him. There's a salvation that is a free gift because Jesus Christ died on the cross, and there's no other thing that needs to happen except for to believe and confess that Jesus is Lord. And salvation is free. But then there is the aftermath power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There is a power in the resurrection. Romans 8 teaches us that the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is available to you and to me. Aftermath is defined as the consequences or the after effects of a significant event. How many of y'all know the cross of Jesus Christ was the most significant event in history? In the aftermath, there was a consequence, the resurrection power of God manifested, and Jesus rose from that grave, defeating death, hell, and the grave. Amen? Many of us have had the significant event, and I'm so proud of each of you who have done this. Many of us have had the significant event of Jesus setting us free from our sin. Thank God he has forgiven me. I am a man who needs the grace of Jesus, but he has set me free by the blood of the Lamb. He has taken my sin and separated it far as the east is from the west and thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness. Who is grateful that Jesus has forgiven you tonight? Praise God.
Jesus wants the power of his Holy Spirit to create an aftermath that takes you from forgiveness to walking in powerful freedom. Because I'm here tonight to share that too many Christians are just embracing forgiveness and forgetting freedom. You should be walking in freedom because there's power available for you to be free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen? See, God will not lovingly lead us to change our lives without providing the power to change. God's not going to lead you to change everything in your life without giving you some power to actually do it. He's not that type of person. He doesn't just give you some orders and leave you to do it helplessly. He doesn't just put the weight on the bars and just drop it on your chest, you know? He actually is there to give us power. My life, I'm here to testify, was changed when my best friend looked me in the face and he said, Jonathan, after he had a radical encounter with the Holy Spirit of God at a summer camp, my best friend looked at me and he said, Jonathan, you've known about Jesus your entire life. You've been raised in the church, and why don't you start living like it? And it rocked me to my core. There was an aftermath moment. I decided to give my whole life to Jesus. And from that moment on, there was an aftermath. Jubilee was at summer camp, and a human video was done at the end of the service. And the gospel finally, it made sense to her in that moment. And she knelt down at the altar, gave her heart to Jesus, and the aftermath of the Holy Spirit began. She never touched drugs again. She went from being a goth to becoming the beauty queen of her school, the most gorgeous girl at Harrison High School, winning the homecoming queen vote of 4,000 of her classmates. That is the power of God that is available to us. The Spirit of God should transform our lives completely. That's what aftermath is all about. Real life, it's my hope and it's my prayer that for the next few weeks, God is going to help us understand that if Jesus does something significant in our lives, there should be lasting consequences. Man, I love you. Don't get me wrong. I am so proud when you say, yes, I need the grace of God. But if it's happening week after week after week, where every week you're praying the sinner's prayer, asking for the same forgiveness, it's time for an aftermath of the Holy Spirit to take place in your life, to where the sin that you're going to get forgiven of once again tonight, you don't have to deal with ever again, because God has done something to transform you. It should have lasting consequences. There should be an aftermath. Your life should be different after you give your heart to Jesus. See, the purpose of the Holy Spirit is not to be weird. It's to create supernatural change in our everyday life. Supernatural. We can try and try and try to do our absolute best, but because the world we live in is sinful and dark and depressing and we've got all hell trying to stop us, we need the power of God. We can't change our lives on our own. We need the Holy Spirit. When I graduated college, these are some examples of what aftermath looks like. Y'all, when I graduated college, it created an aftermath of opportunity for me. I could apply for jobs that I wasn't capable of applying for or qualified to apply for. But praise God, when I got that diploma, I sent my resume in and got me a J-O-B. Hallelujah. When I got married, y'all better believe, it created an aftermath of unconditional love in my life. Jubilee is the one person on the face of this planet that has shown me what it looks like to love like Jesus more than anyone else on the face of this planet, because she knows my junk. She knows my inconsistency. She knows my faults and my failures, and she loves me no matter what. There has been an aftermath because she said, in sickness and in health, till death do us part, no matter what hell comes our way, I love you. And it has been an example of Jesus. An aftermath took place. Y'all better believe when we have babies, it created an aftermath. Ooh, glory. My sons tried to pee on me often when they were babies. It was ridiculous. I learned to live without sleep. Having children will create an aftermath. Y'all better wait till you get married. You don't want to have an aftermath in high school, baby. Okay?
Sophia, my daughter, when I had her, an aftermath took place in my heart because she got me wrapped around her little finger. She says anything, and I'm like, oh, you are so pretty, princess. I love you. Daddy wants to give you the world. She said, Daddy, when I'm 10, can we go to France? And I'm like, okay. An aftermath. Can I share some things that should create an aftermath in your life? A scholarship that is put in front of you should create an aftermath to motivate you to actually apply yourself in school. Man, a new job should cause an aftermath. Extra hours at your job, except on Wednesday night, should create an aftermath that empowers us to be more generous to help others. When we get more, we should give more because God has given it to us to give it away. That should be the aftermath. Graduating high school class of 2019 should be a start, an aftermath of success in your life. I'm here to tell you, when you cross that line, it's time for you to grow up. It's time for you to walk according to the high calling that God has placed on your life. Stop relying on mama and dad and start relying on the Holy Spirit power of God that is there to protect you no matter what you go through. With all the internal decisions that we make, all the external circumstances that can and will produce an aftermath in our lives, this is what we need to realize tonight. Accepting the gospel of Jesus Christ should forever change the direction of our lives. Accepting the gospel should forever change the direction of your life. You should never be the same after Jesus. That first day in weight training, my perspective changed quickly. Being in the weight room and pretending to know what I was doing and actually having the power to lift the weight are two very different things. Do y'all understand that? Trusting God for your eternity and living out a life of faith will often feel like two very different things. Because it's one thing to say, Jesus, forgive me. It's another thing to walk it out. Hearing the narrative of the gospel of Jesus Christ and experiencing the resurrection power that it promises are two different things. Desiring to graduate at the top of your class with distinction and putting the strenuous hard work and effort to get the grades, those are two different things. Wanting to become independently wealthy, praise Jesus. Anyone want to get wealthy in this place? Wanting to become independently wealthy and having a disciplined savings plan and budgeting your everyday finances are two different things. You won't become wealthy if you spend it as soon as you get it. Learn how to save. Learn how to give. Because when you give, it comes back, pressed down, shaken together, and overflowing. Wanting to be healthy and spending time on a treadmill are two different things. Can I get a witness? Here's another one, wanting to be pure and having a desire to become a godly husband or a godly wife and actually putting boundaries to safeguard what you're seeing with your eyes and protecting your ears from what you're feeding your spirit, those are two very different things. See, being given the gift of the promise of salvation and walking in its power every day of our lives are two very different things. But if being born again, Bible-believing, saved, and set free Christian, if being those things were easy, man, everyone would be doing it. Man, if we could do it in our own power, in our own strength, all of us would do it. I wanted to look cool in that weight room. I wanted to show my peers my strength. I wanted to show the world around me what I could do in the weight room. But being in the weight room and actually pushing the weight are two different things. I quickly recognized my weakness and I quickly realized my need for help. And I'm here tonight to tell somebody successfully following Christ means we depend on the power he promised us every single day. The only way we will be successful in walking with Christ every single day is if we depend on the power he promises us. The context of the story we're going to look at tonight quickly. Jesus was, obviously, we just got through Easter. He was crucified on Calvary's cross. If you haven't heard the story, Jesus was the Son of God that came as a man and lived a perfect and sinless life, and he was brutally beaten beyond recognition.
A crown of thorns was placed on his head. His back was whipped. His hands and feet were nailed to a cross. He gave a promise to his disciples and to people that were listening that his body, his temple would be destroyed, but in 3 days it would be rebuilt with the resurrection power. And on the third day, come on, somebody, I said on the third day, Jesus resurrected from the dead, defeating death, hell, and the grave. Man, somebody needs to recognize that if your problem is not death, man, it's easy for Jesus. Because guess what? He defeated death already. He can fix your problem too. There is nothing that is impossible for them that believe. So on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, just like he said. He made his promise and then backed it up with power. He appeared to the women that came to his tomb to take care of his body. And he said, ladies, why are you crying? I'm right here. Wipe your tears from your eyes. He was probably like, wipe your tear, girl. We good. I'm here. You know, you got to read your Bible with life. It's alive and active. He revealed himself to his disciples that were leaving, going the opposite way to the way to Emmaus. And he's like, hey, y'all, this is what the Old Testament was trying to tell y'all. And guess what? I'm here. And they're like, what? And everybody's like, ooh. And on the way, they're like, can we go back? Because we're going the wrong way, Jesus. And he's like, yeah, come on, follow me. You know, it was cool. Another occasion, he revealed himself. He ate on the beach with Peter and the others after calling out to them when they were fishing. That'll preach. They went back to their old way of life, and yet Jesus was still calling to them. Some of y'all went back a few different times, and Jesus is still calling to you. Guess what? I'm powerful. I'm back. I can do it. Come back. We can fix this. No matter how many times you go back to your old way, I'm here to change things. My power is available. Hundreds of people watched him be crucified, watched him say, Father, forgive them. They don't even realize what they're doing. And he breathed his last breath, and even more were seeing him alive just 3 days later. It was more than just a promise. The promise had moved to power. The culture was hateful towards Christianity. Our culture is too. You feel it every day you walk down the halls of your school. That's why they crucified Jesus. They were killing Jesus and killing people who claimed to believe in him, and the disciples were afraid, and they locked themselves behind closed doors. Many Christians today feel unsafe, and they don't live their Christianity out in the open for the world to see. They do. Some of y'all are closet Christians. You lock yourself behind closed doors. Man, I'm just going to blend in. I'm going to fly under the radar. I'm going to keep people out, and I'm just going to live my life for Jesus. That's not what God's called you to. You're called to be more than a conqueror. And they were keeping people out. The doors were locked, and this is where we pick up in the story in John chapter 20. It says, now Thomas, one of the 12 disciples of Jesus, was not with the disciples when Jesus first appeared to them. And so the other disciples were telling Thomas, my boy, we've seen Jesus. He's alive. We've seen the Lord. But Thomas said to them, man, unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and if I put my finger where the nails were and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And a week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas, this time he was with them. At least he was in the room. I want to say, it doesn't matter where you're at spiritually tonight, at least you're in the room. At least you're here. And this is what happened. Remember, the door was locked, and it said, though the doors were locked, Jesus came through. It doesn't say how, but see, at this point, the resurrection power was fully manifest in his life. And so it doesn't matter. He could walk through a wall if he wanted to, because he's God. And he walked through the locked doors, and Jesus came and stood among them and said, hey, peace. Peace be with you. Y'all feel me? You like that? No? Dad joke? Okay. All right. The other disciples had been telling, they had seen Jesus, and they were telling Thomas, the promise Jesus gave us really does have power. He said in 3 days he'll come back to life, and he did. We have seen him with our own eyes. He's alive. And like many of us today, Thomas said he had to see it to believe it. Some of us in this room tonight can relate with Thomas. You want to experience something more with your relationship with Jesus, but you have to see it to believe it. Jesus sent me tonight to let you know that he's not bothered by your skepticism. He's not bothered by your questions. He's not bothered by your thoughts that cause you to doubt. The doors were locked, and Jesus walked through the wall to display his power to an apprehensive group. And the reality tonight is this: Jesus is still capable of walking through the physical and spiritual boundaries that we create. Jesus is still capable to walk through whatever boundary is preventing you from going to the next level with him. I realize tonight that we create emotional walls. We've been hurt, and we don't want to be hurt again. So we keep people, and we keep God at a distance. We put walls up. We trusted, and we got burned. And so now it's hard to trust. Somebody testify if that's you. Come on, let's be real. We have issues that we have dealt with, and it creates walls in our lives. We set up boundaries to keep the dangers around us out, but guys, it also keeps Jesus at a distance. We say things like, Jesus, you can have my sin, but you can't have my heart. That's too heavy. Jesus, you're asking me for too much. I can't do it. Even though you gave your everything for me, sacrificing your life in total, the ultimate price, I can't give you this. I'm not strong enough to do all that you're calling me to do. I know some of y'all have been thinking about this. I can't do it. God, I can't get rid of this part of my life. Even though I hate it, I love it at the same time. And it keeps coming back, and it keeps coming back, and I can't get rid of it. I'm not strong enough to break that addiction. We allow our insecurities to keep us locked in where there's a world of opportunity around us. There is power available to you to overcome. This world is ours for the taking, real life. You are capable to do all things through Christ who gives you strength. Therefore, there is nothing that is impossible for them that believe. Though you may feel shackled and like you're in prison, like Paul and Silas, if you would just but worship the name of Jesus, he can shake the prison cell and set you free. He can do it. But we allow the circumstances that surround us to keep us feeling like prisoners. In real life, I'm here tonight to say Christians should not live like prisoners. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Many of us are living life not realizing that Jesus can walk into our situations and cause an aftermath that changes everything if we will be open to him and be open to the power of the Holy Spirit. He can do it. But in order for us to experience the power of aftermath, we must have a beyond a doubt faith that Jesus is who he says he is, and he did what the Bible said he did. We have to believe it. See, real life, promise turns to power when we turn our believing into knowing. When we say, you know what, it feels good to say, Jesus, I believe in you. But there's something different that happens when we say, I know that I know that I know. It doesn't matter what hell may come my way. I will stand faithfully like a tree planted by the water. I will not be moved because God has called me. He's anointed me. He's gifted me. He loves me unconditionally. I know that he died on Calvary's cross. I know that his Holy Spirit is available to me. I know that his love is unconditional. I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I know I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I know I'm more than a conqueror. There's a difference between just a belief system and a knowing. When you get to knowing, whoo, there is power that begins to release. I want to invite the band to come as I close. See, this account of Jesus revealing himself to the disciples is such a powerful story. Yes, Thomas, he was doubting the good news that Jesus had resurrected from the dead. He was doubtful that there was a power that could do something so unique and so unbelievable. He wanted proof. And this story is so encouraging because it shows you and I that Jesus wants even skeptical people to have access to the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. He wants even skeptical people to know that he's real. He wants to, you don't just have to have this audacious faith. You can be the person that said, I got to see to believe. Guess what? God wants to show you. He wants to prove himself to you. The story goes on, and Jesus, he said to Thomas, put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side, Thomas. Stop doubting and start believing. Thomas said to him the only response possible in that moment, because he knew he was dead and now he saw him alive. My Lord and my God. Jesus told him, because you have seen me, you have believed. But this is Jesus speaking to us tonight. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. You are blessed if you begin to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he really did step out of that grave for your salvation, that there really is resurrection power that is available to you. Blessed are you who have not seen yet still believe. And Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these are written that you, that's us, that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing you may have life and power and freedom and authority in his name. See, every miracle Jesus performed, he intended and anticipated an aftermath. The cross and the resurrection was no exception. See, the work of the cross of Jesus Christ is step one. If you've accepted him as your Lord and Savior, praise God, you're at step one. Step two is the aftermath of walking in the Holy Spirit's power every day for the rest of your life. See, there is a power available to us that turns the ideals of the promise Jesus gives us into a way of life. Like, Christianity shouldn't just be a concept or philosophy or a religion. Christianity should be our way of life. And the last main point I want you to focus on tonight is the Holy Spirit. He's not weird. The Holy Spirit's not weird. The Holy Spirit is a supernatural power that is available to us to enable us to do what Jesus asked us to do. Jesus said, I am going to give you power. In the last days, I'm going to pour out my spirit on everyone. And young men will prophesy. Young women will dream dreams. Acts 1:8 says, I'm going to endure you, give you power to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the outermost parts of the world. See, when Thomas saw the hands and feet of Jesus, Thomas didn't think it was weird. He knew things had moved from promise to power. See, the woman who suffered 13 years with the issue of blood, who by faith reached out and touched the hem of the garment of Jesus, and instantaneously power was released and she was instantly healed. She didn't think it was weird. She knew that things had moved from promise to power. It wasn't weird. It was supernatural. It created aftermath. The blind person who had never seen in his entire life since birth, who was now seeing images with vivid color and high definition, did not see the situation as weird or strange. He knew that things had changed from promise to power. Being healed wasn't weird, it was supernatural. The crippled man whose friends literally had to lower him down from a hole in the roof just to get to Jesus, he walked out on his own two feet, and I'm here to tell somebody he didn't think it was weird. He realized something had shifted from promise to power. Aftermath. The woman caught in adultery that was moments away from being stoned to death didn't feel that Jesus was being weird when he rebuked everyone that was condemning her, saying, if you are without sin, why don't you cast the first stone? And one by one, they dropped their rocks and walked away. She knew that something had shifted from promise to power. And Jesus told her to go and sin no more. An aftermath. Some of us in this room have been dealing with addiction, depression. Some of you have sickness and illness. Some of you are fighting things at home. There's situations that God wants to take from promise to power. But the very first step in receiving your breakthrough, the very first step of being filled with that power is an undeniable knowing that you know that Jesus is your Lord and Savior.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed, make sure you hit the subscribe button for our weekly sermons, and don't forget to follow us on social media for updates. If you have any prayer requests, feel free to email us at reallifecolumbus@gmail.com. We'd love to partner with you in prayer. Be sure to tune in next week on the Real Life Podcast.